Ballpark Nation presents Extra Innings. All things baseball, movies, and, well, everything.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Ballpark Nation's Extra Innings Show, where we're talking about all kinds of things in the baseball world and still waiting for the run-up to the premiere of the actual Ballpark Nation show. Now, this week, you can bet your bottom dollar that we're going to roll the dice and talk a little Shohei Ohtani. But you know, it's not a gamble, folks. Getting out to see the Columbia Fireflies, we're very excited to have John Kostas on the show to preview the Fireflies 2024 season. It is my privilege to welcome to the second episode of Ballpark Nation's Extra Innings. He is John Kostas. He is the voice of your Columbia Fireflies, which we will be making our trip out in mid-May, and we're so excited. John, how's it going?
It's going great. I mean, a handful of days before opening day, I'm just super excited to actually get back to this time of year. You know, you're in the same boat. In October, November, we're watching the big leagues get that World Series playoff climax, but then you're kind of slow for a little bit, and we're finally back picking it back up.
I get real depressed after Christmas. Like, as soon as Christmas is over, then that's when it begins for me. Like, I can get through Halloween and horror movies and all this stuff. It's funny because we are recording this before your season starts, so you have time to actually talk. And you showed me earlier, you got guys cutting the grass. You've got, I mean, it's really starting to pick up down there, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's, you know, the beauty of this. If we would have done this 3 days ago, there would have been white blankets on the field because it's Bermuda grass, and Bermuda grass needs to be, you know, 70 degree soil temp overnight to continue to grow. So, it, you know, when it frosts overnight and stuff, that ruins that unless you have those blankets. But, you know, Mother Nature cooperating just a little bit before opening day so we could take those off and get things looking like how people expect them to look is always magical.
I love that. And I didn't know that about Bermuda glass. See, now people tuned in and they learned something. Before we jump into what's going on down there in Columbia, I do want to give you a personal thank you for contributing and help getting us over the top for our Ballpark Nation fundraiser.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys do such a fantastic job. And I think, like you said, making this move that Ballpark Nation's moving from Let's Get to the Show is going to be something that's going to make this an even cooler show. So I love being a part of it. I love, you know, watching it. So I wanted to help contribute to make it as possible as it could be. So I'm stoked that you hit your goal, that you had a lot of people that believe the same things I believe, because I'm excited to see what happens this summer with your show, Matt.
Yeah, well, definitely was one of those things where you come out with a feeling of responsibility because you want to make sure that you earn, at least that's how I look at things. I want to earn the trust, but it's definitely also a compliment because, you know, for some people, it might not look all that different, but really what it comes down to are some of the things that you have to do to get it ready for a bigger streaming network. We are going to be doing all of our team interviews on site in the ballpark with multiple cameras. And it's definitely going to be one of those things. There's a lot going on. And I, first of all, am so excited to, and this is like completely an accident, but I'm going to be at Star Wars Night. I want to talk Star Wars Night first because it's one of the biggest nights in at any level in baseball these days because majors have often co-opted it. We're going to have a specialty jersey, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to have one, and it's awesome. We haven't released it publicly yet, so we'll censor what it is, but let's just say it's the light and the dark coming together on the front and the back, and it is a it is a mirror of the light and the dark. And if you're a huge Star Wars fan, you might be like, oh my God, that's obvious. There's only one character that's necessarily light and dark at different points in the saga. But if you're not a big Star Wars fan, you're going, oh man, John, just say it. And I'll say, just keep following us on Facebook. Keep following us on Twitter, because we'll certainly announce it and have those posted out. But I'm a big fan of when you do jerseys the right way. And this one is certainly a jersey done the right way.
I'm definitely excited. It's also kind of neat that it's coming out. The jersey's coming out less than a month from the new show, The Acolyte, which is going to be very much about those same themes of the dark side sort of taking over. And I know this is a jersey. Are we doing the jersey auction? Are we doing the auction live or online?
So it's going to be live online. And then if you're in park, we always have on the track around the field, we'll set up a couple of tables and the players will sign their jersey and hand them to you and you can take pictures and stuff. So it'll be a little both. Like, we use that so that way, even if you're not here and we're mailing you the jersey, that you have the signed jersey. That way we don't have to track down a player and, you know, what if they get called up or what if they you know, do something else. But then also I think, you know, it's a great way to have that interaction between the fan base and the players. So you'll certainly be on the field afterwards if you get the jersey, and you'll have,
oh, I'm going to win one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know you'll make sure of it because it's the big thing. I will ask, is there a specific number you like?
I used to wear number 2 when I was a kid. But not, I'm not necessarily tied to it as long as it's something that's going to fit. And I've actually lost a bunch of weight, so I'm going to I don't even know what my size is now. You know, it's funny because we
have a chart.
What's that?
So that might help. I think we have a chart when we do these jersey auctions that tell you, like, this equates to an adult large, an adult medium, an adult XL or whatever. Because we frequently get asked, like, and I guess this wouldn't matter too much for jersey auctions, but we frequently get asked when we do the custom jerseys, but how do I do my kids in fifth grade? He's a youth large, he's an adult small. What does that mean? And is that a 44? Is that a 52? Right. So
yeah,
we certainly have charts for those available.
I think I'm at a 48 now. And I don't know. The one conversation I haven't had with my wife yet is we're Astro season ticket holders for the first time, and we get 15% off of the team store, and I lost a bunch of weight. So,
well, you got to re-up the Astros gear.
I got to re-up. One of the things that pains me that you guys are having though is 90s night, because I cannot believe that the 90s were, John, I'm having my 30th high school reunion. I'm not going because those are dumb, but in May. In fact, it might actually be the weekend I'll be with you. So there
well,
we go.
We can have a, you know, 5-year show reunion.
Something, yeah. But what is the big plan for that? I mean, I know, are y'all diving into the pop culture a bit? Are you diving into the music, the TV, the movies? What are we looking at?
So we're doing it all. Outside of walk-up songs for the home team, everything will be a song that had to be between 1990 and 1999. I think we're asking players if for that specific night there's a 90s song that they want to. So hopefully everything that you hear from 6 p.m. until, you know, 9:30 or 10 or whatever is going to be a 90s song. We have taken a bunch of clips and a bunch of, like, sounds from popular shows that we're going to be having, you know, like the big uh-ohs or the big exciting moments and stuff. Yeah, exactly. We'll certainly have stuff like that that we'll be playing over the sound speakers, as well as on the video board. And then I think the big thing we're trying to do is construct slime for, like, the Nickelodeons You Got Slimed. And I believe we're going to be sliming someone. But so lots of little things that we're trying to do to make it as authentic as possible. I think we're going to be having a lot of the, you know, the weird color schemes. And again, I'm going to bring up Nickelodeon. I apologize. I was 5 when the 90s ended. So Nickelodeon's like my big.
That's your touchstone for
the 90s.
Yeah. For me, it's Seinfeld and Friends. For you, it's I get it. One of the things that I love that you guys do, and you're seeing a couple more teams do this, and that's celebrating historically Black colleges. You know, there's been a big effort in minor league baseball the last few years with the 9, and then also Copa reaching out to Hispanic fans. Is there a big HBCU population up there? I mean, we only have a couple down here in Texas, so I was curious, and how much representation from them will you get for the night?
Yeah, so this is something that was really cool to me when I moved to Columbia. Because coming from Cleveland, Ohio, there aren't really any HBCUs that, like, jump off the page to me that are in my area. But, you know, from the ballpark, there's Allen and Benedict, which are both HBCUs. It's probably like a mile and a half away from the ballpark. And they actually, like, share a street. Like, the two colleges are divided by just
weird.
A street. So it's a huge rivalry. They've got great alumni bases. Last year, we kind of launched this. There's a local bank that sponsors it, Synovus Bank. And so they gifted a bunch of tickets so that way both marching bands, which took up like an entire section of pop, could bring in all of their dancers, all of their actual like band stuff. And then as people came in, the drum lines were performing at gates open. And then they did, instead of a halftime show, a giant pregame show on the field. So like right in, you got into a lot of the culture. It felt like, like a drumline-esque feel when you're walking in. If you haven't ever been to a HBCU game, that's the best way I can describe it,
Yeah.
in a way that a lot of people have seen it or interacted with that movie. And then we obviously had other HBCUs that are in the area that were able to, come on out as well. But those two being so close were certainly the main focal point for us in Benedict and Allen.
One of the things I love that you guys are doing too, and we'll get back to some fun ones in a minute for folks, but you guys obviously are doing your military appreciation night, which everyone does. But I love that you're also doing a night specific for Fort Jackson, which is one of the Army's main places for basic combat training. How much of that is it important to reach out to? Because for one thing, yeah, you want to celebrate what they're doing, but also it's a pocket of people that can become Fireflies fans, because one of the things, like I did it when I was anywhere I was stationed, I'd go to the ballpark because I felt like I was home. How much of that ties into your kind of reason for doing it?
So Jim, our night for that is like within the same 10 days every year, and it's actually for a reason. It is there's a training group that finishes that week,
Wow.
and this is the first food they eat that is not basic food when they come here, and it is one of the it's amazing and gross at the same time, because it's people eating something for the first time. So like there will be a section or two sections of people, wearing their fatigues and stuff, and you'll see someone eat four chicken tender baskets before the game even starts. And it's wild. It's impressive, right? It's impressive because you don't think about it, but also, I've got a twin that's in like overseas right now, and when we talk, oftentimes he's talking about food, and you're like,
Yeah.
man, I can't wait till the next port call because I would love to eat real food again and stuff like that.
And
So
sometimes that real food is Burger King and you're just okay with it, because that was the
and
first thing
that's one of
when I
those
got back
things.
from, I was craving, like, I need a Whopper. I don't even, yeah.
Well, that's where it's funny, because like a lot of times we think I like ballpark food, but I don't consider it the finest of cuisines. But because it's a sense of normal, because it's a sense of home, like you mentioned, I mean, they love it. And the national anthem at that point is one of the coolest things, because they'll have their couple sections. It's typically over the third base dugout, and they'll all be saluting the flag because we have, the colors on the field for that performance
Right.
specifically. And at the end they do the end salute, and they all in file kind of get back into their seats. And I think it's just, I don't know, it's decorum that you don't normally see, which to me as a civilian is special to see. And I think for people in the military, it kind of reminds them of 20 years ago or 10 years ago when they had to go through that.
Yeah, and you see it. I was stationed in Fort Sill, so the closest I did base training at Fort Sill. So the closest baseball we had was Oklahoma City, which isn't close. And we graduated not during baseball season, but going to San Antonio a lot, we get the same thing because that's where Air Force basic training is, and you see all these guys in their little blue uniforms. You guys have been ahead, are ahead of the game on bringing Jurassic Park or Jurassic World to the ballpark. First of all, my question is, what are the big plans for that? But also, how you wrapped it in an entire dinosaur weekend, which I just mean, you could, I think they're going to be kids either want to be marine biologists or they want to dig for dinosaurs as a kid. I got to imagine the kids are going to be going nuts out there.
Jim, this was something that I tried to get us to do for years. And last year was the first time that I got approval from our marketing team to say, if you think Dinosaur Night's going to be cool, let's do Dinosaur Night. So we got Ed's dinos out. We had all these inflatables. There were different, like, when I say mascot, it's going to cheapen it. But it's like an animatronic that's half controlled by a human dinosaur, like raptors and stuff
Oh,
that we
cool.
had going around the ballpark and stuff. So not mascot like Mason, the big fluffy guy, but an animatronic mascot that looks somewhat lifelike. And then we had interaction type stations and stuff where people could, see the size and scope of those. We had bone digs and stuff like that. And it went off so well that this year we said, you know what? Jurassic World's coming out. We're going to make that Saturday. We'll move the Ed's Dinosaurs Day to Sunday. And we can do a giveaway on Friday that, encapsulates this dinosaur thing. So it was one of those things where, like, for me, it was awesome to see because it succeeded so well, something that I had fought for a couple of years, saying, I think this would work, that we elected, hey, let's blow this out and let's see if we could make it work for 3 straight days. And have that, like we do Copa every year, we do the Negro League celebration weekend every single year. We do a Star Wars and a Harry Potter every year. So like this is one of those things where we're in the testing phase of can this be successful enough over a weekend to do it every year? So that'll be this year's big test.
And then, and you also have all the pop culture stuff. I noticed you didn't fight for Jaws very hard, but we'll, you know what? Actually, you waited because next year's his 50th anniversary.
Exactly. We're
So
working
we'll.
anniversaries, and that's one thing that I've gotten everyone keyed into. So when I got here, I was big on saying like, "Hey, 25 years X, 25 years Y. Like, let's try and see what we can do." And now, like, people are like, "Hey, you know what? Movies turning 50 this year, or what movies turning 40 this year?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm so happy that we're starting to do
Well,
this."
yeah, and I mean, it has to help. I mean, the reason we do this is to grow the game. And I famously got into an argument with an Astros beat writer who blocked me because he was complaining about Princess Night. Maybe he didn't get a tiara and he was upset. I don't know. I don't know
Oh,
why he was so
absolutely.
mad. Must be. But one of the things, though, that you guys do a really good job of is bringing community together. And you've got Disability Pride Night. You've got Nurses Appreciation Night. You've got Teacher Appreciation Night. But I want to ask about two. I want to ask about Faith and Family Night and Pride Night. I live in a world where both those things can exist and should exist. My question to you has been, have you seen pushback from the community on the Pride Night thing? Not to get political, but people are getting less. It seems like we're getting into a weird spot. Are you guys feeling pressure to not have it, or is Columbia is a college town and everybody's down for it?
So, it depends where, right? So, like Twitter, very accepting. Instagram, pretty solid. You go on Facebook, and there are
Facebook.
some old people who like are not cool with that. And we're in the Bible Belt, so Faith and Family Night is very well received, right? But Pride Night certainly has its people who will want to move away from it, or who will want to. And we give people that option. If it bugs you so much, rather than throwing a tantrum on social, or rather than whatever, like we'll move your tickets to a different date. We'll do whatever, like, because this should be something where people can feel safe to celebrate and should be able to enjoy the ballpark just like you. So, I think Pride Night has been something that, outside of a couple of things that are primarily keyboard warriors, like in park, you never really have an issue, but keyboard warriors tend to do some stuff. I think it's been better received than I would have expected in the state of South Carolina.
Yeah.
But overall, like once we get into the actual actions of like, having the video board be rainbow and having some flags flying and stuff like that, like I think that has transpired over pretty well.
And that's good because I worry about where that can go, and I love it when I see minor leagues and Major League Baseball teams acknowledging the fact that, I mean, on the one hand, it's selfish, right? We acknowledge that our game is not getting younger, our fans. So way to do that is to encourage somebody to come out. I was thinking about the Princess Night when I was arguing is I had seen it at Traverse City and I saw a Cinderella walk out with two pit spitter hats. Like maybe she never would have done that if she hadn't gotten to go. So
I call it
what are
the
some
baby
nights that,
daddy daughter date night, like Princess Night specifically. Like, I can't tell you how many people bring their 7-year-old daughter to probably their first baseball game. And I have memories of the Cleveland Indians at that time and saying, like, man, I really want to go to this game and see Jim Thome, Kenny Lofton, Carlos Baerga, etc. Like, that's not necessarily how the game's consumed anymore, but that memory of going to Princess Night might be what makes a 30-year-old woman decide, hey, I need to take my kids to this baseball game. So, like you said, it's just growing the community.
Yeah, and you know, again, we need to grow the we need to we love this game. We need to grow it. I had a couple questions, really just one more about, you know, you have so much input on this. What is a night this year that's is there a new one that you're like, yes, I'm glad it made it? You talked about the Jurassic, the dinosaur night. What are a couple that this year that you're really looking forward to?
So the other one that's like really a personal heart project for me is Scooby-Doo Night presented by Escapeology. I was born in 94, so like when they had that revitalization where they had the straight to VHS movies, I was
Yeah, totally.
5 to 9 years old. So Zombie Island, Cyber Chase, Witch's Ghost, which is 25 this summer, like all of those were what I grew up on. I was always just a super huge Scooby fan. So the last couple of years, I've been trying to convince them. I'm like, hey, this is the 25th of Zombie Island. This is the 25th of Witch's Ghost, which is this summer. And this summer, they're like, you know what? If you think it's going to go well, I think there are enough people that might be interested. And so then I was the one who got the sponsor involved. Escapeology is a local escape room, and they have a
Oh,
Scooby-Doo
fun.
themed escape room. So I was like, guys, like we're doing Scooby-Doo night. You have the Scooby-Doo escape room. Like, let's partner together to try and get people to use your escape room, but also like use that branding together to co-op and make something kind of exciting. There is a local mystery machine that like drives around. So
Really? Ah. Oh.
we did our own mystery hunt where we went through Reddit and Twitter, and we're trying to get this person to bring their van out. We're pretty optimistic that's going to happen. So we should have the mystery machine in park for it. So like just like all these little things that come together at the last minute that are, you know, I think those little things are the things that make a night overall. You know, you can change the music, you can change the video board, but I think physical things on the concourse or having Scooby snacks available and having, you know, a giant sandwich that you can have to have the Shaggy sandwich available to purchase for some ridiculous like food eater or something like that. I think that type of stuff is what makes a night over the top minor league baseball, and what's great about what we do.
So now, last question. How do you determine what will work? Godfather Night probably doesn't work at the ballpark.
So,
Although Round Rock's doing a Friday the 13th night, which I'm stoked for.
that's
So
awesome. Yeah,
how
we're
do
doing
you?
halfway to Halloween, so I feel like there's certainly like a horror movie aspect if you theme it
Sure.
right.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think part.
you're also doing early Christmas. I'm trying to come out to that too, just as a fan, but we'll see.
So I
But
think part of it for us is just like understanding who our main fan base is. So, you know, we've got about 1,000 season ticket holders in various forms, not all full season, but you know, like about 1,000 season ticket holders where, you know, we interact with them 10, 20, 30, 60, 80 times a year. Like understanding what their wants and needs are, that tells us, okay, at its base level, you know, can this work? And then the other aspect is what's really popular right now. Like, I don't know that any of our season ticket holders are necessarily big Bluey folks, but
I don't even know who that is.
Bluey's like a probably the most popular kids show right now.
Okay.
It's based out of Australia, so a little bit of the Peppa Pig like accent type thing. But Bluey's a dog that has a family, and it's I mean, like all my friends since, you know, I'm getting to my 30s. Who have their kids that are, you know, 3 to 5 years old, freaked out when they saw Bluey Night. So, in fact, we shared Bluey Night presented by Castle Brothers on Facebook, and it got like 800 shares or something crazy
Oh,
like that.
wow. Okay.
And most of the shares, when you scroll through it, because I'm connected with the Facebook, it's just like someone tagging their husband or someone tagging their wife and going like, "We need to bring the kids." So like, it's very much Paw Patrol if you're familiar, but
Yeah,
just
totally. Yeah.
this is going to be that next age of Paw Patrol that I feel like all stems from that blue dog that we watched in the 90s, Blue's Clues, right? And it's just every 10 years they come out with a new one.
Yeah.
So like that was one where we just, you know, we said Paw Patrol's worked really well, but this show's certainly more popular than Paw Patrol now. So we try and look at those trends as well.
Well, I love that. I love that you guys are staying fingers on the pulse, but also doing stuff like Star Wars for old guys like me. John, we will be back. We'll be out there May 11th. The episode will drop in June, I think. Don't make me tell you now, actually. But thanks again for helping Ballpark Nation and jumping on Extra Innings.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James. Always a pleasure to chat.
And as we continue on with Ballpark Nation's Extra Innings, we are joined by regular guest host Emily Nyman from Break Balls Pod and television reporter and amazing 70s bullpen beard, Gary Warren. Did I say television reporter? You're a producer, not a reporter.
But I could report on producing the fact that there is no work for anybody right now. So my reporting is done.
And we are heading towards, well, now we're on a downer. Who's having a worse week then? Television producers or Shohei Ohtani or his interpreter? Emily, before we jump into what we think, for those people who maybe have crawled out from under a rock to listen to this episode, break down the chronology of what's happened, at least as you saw it.
So basically, I think the timeline really is the first Ohtani and Ohtani's camp came out saying that he had accident, you know, he had like wired money for his interpreter's gambling debts, and that's what happened. Then not too long after that, it was, wait a second, no, we didn't do that. The money was stolen from us. Or the interpreter also had some kind of quote in there too. I almost couldn't catch up because, Jim, if you remember last week, I was a little under the weather. I was sleeping all day. I wake up, my fiance's like, Ohtani's betting. And I was like, wait, he did what? Who cares? Like, I didn't even process it. And then I was like, wait, what the hell happened? Well, so that's my synopsis, everybody.
That still makes you more informed than most of the people on Twitter who commented on it. Gary, lots of twists and turns, lots of changing of stories. A lot of it doesn't pass the smell test in a lot of ways. And one of the things that a friend of mine pointed out to is that when Ohtani's camp said, yeah, we paid off his gambling debts, that they were accidentally admitting to a federal felony, like wire fraud and everything else. But just on a, do we know the whole story level, Gary, where do you think we are as far as on a scale of 0 to 100, where are we as far as knowing what happened?
I think we're actually about 95. I really have a feeling that what Ohtani's people said at the beginning is what really happened. And I think then that his legal department, the Dodgers legal people, MLB, they're all like, wait a minute, we can't have our superstar have this on his career. I mean, this is, you know, this could follow him, make him another Pete Rose, and they can't have that. And especially when the Dodgers owe him $900 billion over the next 200 years or something. So I have a feeling that the powers that be got involved and started muddying the waters to confuse it and make him seem like he was completely removed from the situation. But my gut says that the very first story we heard is probably the truth.
I'm probably with you. I don't believe for a second that that Shohei Ohtani was pulling a Pete Rose. I think those two guys have been friends forever. There is a certain, you know, because talk about the language barrier with Japan, there's a cultural barrier too. And they just treat loyalty and honor and all that stuff way different than we do. I really believe Ohtani was trying to help a friend out and stumbled into something he didn't realize and committed the great American sin, Emily, of being honest.
Yeah, to be honest, like the terminally online baseball fan in me really wants it to be the worst case scenario because of like on some like screw the Dodgers type stuff and seeing their fans like really scramble and sweat it out. But I'm with you guys that I think that it is probably the first thing, that it was probably his good friend who's, you know, it's his best friend allegedly. Like that's always the story that's kind of sold about the two of them.
Yeah.
And told him he's in some hot water. Ohtani said, I'm a freaking gazillionaire, let me help you out. And then found out, oh, wait, actually, sports gambling is illegal in California, and I'm not allowed to actually wire money to a bookie. So then we got the, oh, he stole money from me. But the only thing that doesn't add up, if I can just add this, the interpreter kind of going down for this, getting fired, it was expected. But now that it's like an investigation, so I'm really interested to see how this pans out, because they could be good friends, but I don't see someone sacrificing their freedom for Ohtani, you know, and that's kind of what's on the line here, depending on the real nitty gritty of what happened.
Well, I think you make an excellent point. And I think one of the things that came out with particularly like fans of the Astros were, we just want to see that the investigation is fair, because rightly or wrongly, we have issues about how the investigation in 2019, 2020 happened. But you noticed that Major League Baseball didn't announce that they were going to do an investigation until the federal government said they were going to do one. So I do think you'll get an honest investigation, right? Because the federal government sure as heck is going to do one. And I've heard somewhere where there's members of like the federal government that are their ass is kind of grindy because they really expect Ohtani to collect the majority of his contract in Japan, not paying American federal taxes, which
I didn't
I
even
don't
think
know. You
about
bothers
that.
me very on that. What do you think, Gary?
Well, I think fair investigation with the asterisk of a rich person. So I don't know how truly fair it will be, but I think that if you're a representative, or whatever in Congress, and you represent people that hate the Dodgers, you want their vote, so you want to stick it to them and at least make it appear like, hey, I'm all you Yankees fans, I'm supporting you. I'm going after the Dodgers, and if you're, at work, you're Texan, you're like, yeah, they said we cheated. He's cheating. We're going to get him, So I could see it being a lot of fanfare. I don't think anything's going to come of it.
What could come of it, Emily?
I was just going to add that I know that my vote in November is certainly hinging on what side of this Ohtani situation either
Wait, Biden,
candidate
Trump. I
falls
know
on.
Israel, Ukraine, and abortion, but we got to get down to the
Forget about
nitty-gritty.
that. Forget about women's rights. I need to know where you stand on Ohtani's
Yeah.
betting.
Yeah, I heard Biden said that Sandy Koufax is going to pay for this. That's all I know.
It's okay
I'm
because
sorry, what was the question?
because Trump said Mean Joe Green. So I don't even know what's happening with this. No, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know what the punishment will be. I certainly look, I care about the future of baseball. I did make a joke on our other show that the Astros actually really own Ohtani, and so I wouldn't want to give up the out in the potential World Series matchup. But
That's
no, I
good.
think he's good for the game, and I would hate to see him go down. And I don't think he will because I don't honestly think I don't know what the punishment for that stuff is. I imagine it's a fine, and I'm sure
Yeah.
he'll get a fine and he'll pay the fine, and that'll be it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I believe the it's Rule 21, which is MLB's like their golden rule, so to speak, and that's a rule on all things betting. And obviously betting on baseball is the big no-no, and that's what will get you a lifetime ban. But even if this came out that, oh, Ohtani technically, because he paid this, that, or the other thing, they're allowed to bet on other sports. And obviously it has to be through legal avenues, and there's some gray area there with online betting and him being in California for at least some amount of time during the year. So I think that at the very least it would be that, which actually I don't even think it'll be that, to be honest, because that comes with a year suspension. And I don't think MLB is going to let Ohtani go down for anything. So I think that their investigation is actually going to be like aiding in his defense in terms of the feds are concerned, because I think that they really need him to stay on the level, because this sport cannot handle another massive scandal like this.
From the
And
Dodgers.
right, yeah, exactly, of all teams.
I mean, just don't sign with the Dodgers and you're going to stay out of jail because
Yeah,
Bauer certainly has
seriously.
not enjoyed things. I tell you what, though, the worst thing about all of this is it gave Pete Rose an excuse to talk. And I just wish it
Oh,
would go
I
away.
know.
Gary, I mean, I don't know. Like, I am 100% supportive of Pete Rose's ban because it is the one rule you don't break. And I don't know where you fall on it because surely statistically he's one of the best players to ever play the game, but it's the one rule you don't break.
I'm okay if he goes in. I completely get it, especially because he did bet on Reds games. Because it changed. It was like I never bet on baseball. Then it was like I never bet on the Reds. Then it was like, well, I always bet on the Reds to win. So it's like there's only one more step. He probably bet on them to lose. They probably threw games. I get it. But I still think that, as a player, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. But I'm not gonna lose sleep if he doesn't go in. I don't really care that much.
Yeah, I think Pete Rose is a gigantic bozo for many, many reasons.
His
Mainly
haircut.
that he also is has allegedly, statutory raped teenagers when he was a manager player. So I think that he can go to hell. And I have not watched any video. I've had multiple people send me videos of his reaction to the Ohtani, and I just, out of principle, have not watched it because I could not give two shits about what he has to say about anything. I'm so glad that Fox got rid of his ass. Remember when they had him on like the post game for the postseason a few years ago?
Yeah, and I'm
The
sure
hell were
Major
they
League Baseball
thinking?
was like, what are you doing, dude? He's banned from
It
the game. Like,
was horrible too. His commentary was dumb.
and didn't he
And
have
he's
like really crazy just for men colored hair or something? Like, I seem to remember it was like
yes.
colored 87 from the box or something weird.
I borrowed Rudy Giuliani's, except his didn't run. Well, I will say that I can't trust any man of his age who still gets a bowl cut. I just can't. I don't know. It's a thing, but yeah, I do think that a lot of this is much ado about nothing. I think one of the things that does irritate, and Emily, you see me online more than on Twitter more than Gary does. Gary and I are Facebook people, but I'm always trying to fight arguments where I can convince people that maybe they're wrong or whatever. And I just got to stop because now it's like Dodger fan blindly defending anything. And then, God forbid, another fan base raise a question and you're like, oh, why are you coming down without all the evidence? And it's like, no, I mean, it doesn't, the initial story doesn't pass the smell test. And you're not an asshole for pointing that out.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, it's okay for us to take in some information and even speculate. We're fans. We're not the feds. We're not MLB's investigators. So that's kind of why we're all online and having discourse is to look at sports news as it comes in and react to it. And whether Dodger fans are really wanting to admit it or not, this is a huge story. This isn't something that's being whipped up from nothing into something. This is something. And it's worth being talked about. And this is the per me if this happened midseason, I mean, there's a lot more going on. So I'm not saying that it would have been swept under the rug. It would still be a huge story, but we'd all be invested in other things. But at this moment in time, everything is at like a standstill. We've all inhaled waiting for the season to start in the next few days. So something like this happening in this window of time where everyone is just kind of staring at their screen, waiting for baseball to happen. Of course, people are going to speculate, and Dodgers fans are kidding themselves, being like, "Ugh, it's obvious he didn't do anything. How is it obvious? Tell me how it's obvious that he's completely innocent." It's not. Not saying he did it, but not saying he didn't do it.
You know,
Gary,
it's
you
the
want
first time Dodgers fans don't want to be the center of the universe. It's weird.
to?
Gary, having formerly lived in LA, has certain opinions about sneaking into Dodger Stadium with his Cardinals jersey under whatever he's wearing and then taking it off and putting
Yeah,
it
to
back.
avoid getting stabbed in the parking lot.
Yeah, it happens.
That's an
Well,
Olympic sport, practically.
like you pointed out, well, and before, like you said, Emily, we can only talk about Cole's elbow or Justin Verlander's shoulder for so much time before we realize other things have to be talked about,
Or I start crying, one or the
or you
other.
start crying. I do want to do our predictions because I think it's like morally responsible of us that we have to just like it's a moral imperative that you have to do that if you talk about any form of sports. And so I thought we would go through our division winners, wild cards, and who's the AL, who the two LCS matchups are, and then who we think the World Series winner will be. So we're going to start in the National League East. Gary, Emily, I'm taking the Braves. Gary,
Yeah,
anything
I
different?
agree. Braves, 100%.
Same.
Okay. We're going to skip the NL Central to the end of the show. See what we did there? All right. So, National League West, I've got the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Okay.
Dodgers.
My wild cards, I got a little wild cardy with that. So, I'm going to take the D-backs and the Phillies to get back. And I'm going to put the Giants in the wild card. I have a feeling signing Snell might be the thing that's going to, they tried to make all these big moves and they came up short so many times. I'm gonna pick them to get a little crazy and get back into the wild card.
I actually have Giants in a wild card too, I think. I'm
Wow.
going for, we got it figured out. I'm going for Phillies, Giants, and the Cardinals as the other wild card team. But they'll
Okay.
lose in the that playoff. It'll be fast.
Poor Gary.
I was thinking Phillies, Giants, and Padres. I'm a Manny Machado freak, so I have to give that to the Padres. Though the Cubs are kind of right there too. I feel like they're kind of teetering on the edge as well.
I
They're
think
also kind of
Padres.
famous on the old left coast now, on Padre radio and stuff, right?
Yeah, I've been on their morning show a few times with Ben and Woods. I love those guys. It was a really exciting opportunity.
I think Padres are a little bit of a dark horse. I think people are kind of not giving them much due, and I was very close to having them on instead of the Cardinals for my third wild card, but we'll see.
Okay, so AL Central, I'm taking the Twins to win the world's most unwatchable division.
Agreed. Yep.
Same.
Twins as well. Okay. All right. AL East, I'm taking the Toronto Blue Jays, the Toronto Ooh. Blue Jays to win the AL East. And I'll tell you guys, I've been picking them to win the ALS for about 7 years, and I think I'm just going to be right one of these times, and then I'm going to be like, I told you.
Jim, I'm never going to forgive you for this. I'm going to remember this forever.
Trust me, I know.
I have the Yankees still taking the division. I think they got the firepower in their lineup. I think that Carlos Rodon is going to have a big comeback year. And, you know, to steal a phrase from the guys across town in orange and blue, you got to believe at this point in the year. So I'm going to believe.
Okay. Gary, who do you have in the East?
I'm going for Orioles. I have really a toss up between the Yankees and Orioles. But I have a feeling the Orioles are going to win the division this year.
Okay, my wild
card. I should have called in sick. You guys are just horrible. If I had known this ambush was coming, I would not have joined the show.
All I remember is last year you kept apologizing profusely before you didn't pick the Astros to win the division. So I don't know what you're talking about.
That was close. It was close.
Fucking
Rangers.
Both only counts in hand grenades and nuclear warfare. So let's see. My wild card for the American League, I'm going to take the Yankees, Orioles, and Mariners. Nobody coming out of the Central.
I'm going Rays, Yankees, and Mariners.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Rays, Mariners, and Blue Jays.
How sad is it that we pick 17,000 wild cards? Like,
I know, it's so weird.
Like, let's just pick the three teams that don't get to go to the playoffs. It'd be a much faster show.
That actually is a kind of fun prediction idea.
Who's not coming?
The Royals are not coming to the playoffs.
They are not.
Let everyone else just deduce who our picks are by that information only.
Oakland A's are also going to be in Vegas before they're in the playoffs.
Right.
We're going to hop back to the NL Central. I'm going to take the St. Louis Cardinals to win the National League Central, Gary.
I love that you have the faith. I don't. I am going to pick the Chicago Cubs to win the National League Central. Because of Craig Counsell. I mean, they're bringing in one of the best managers in baseball. He's going to take the team, and it's going to be another dagger in my heart. And the rest of that will be, old man yelling at cloud. But I think Cubs are going to win the division, and they'll be the team to knock the Cardinals out of the playoffs.
And then we'll be doing this show called Suicide Watch, Emily. Emily, what about you for the NL Central? Who do you have?
I have the Cardinals. I think that they're going to eke it out.
Yeah, I think they're going to win it with like 86 wins. Like, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the AL West.
I think that's
no
being generous, to be honest. No
I
offense.
Think actually, but.
There's no doubt who I picked for the AL West. I'm taking the Astros. I think they actually win the division by 5 games this year.
Hmm.
I'm with you, Astros. I think Astros win.
I think Astros win easily, yes.
I love that you both said easily. So whenever it doesn't happen. Like Gary, during playoffs, Emily is like my Buddha. She's like my Zen goddess. So she's just like, they're still really good. Calm down. Like, they got down in that Yankee series in 2022. They got down like by two runs or something. I was like, oh my God, it's over. She's like, shh. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, don't worry. Magic is about to happen. And by magic, I mean just the Yankees. You shut down Judge. There was nothing left in that lineup.
Nothing. I think for the World Series, I think for the NLCS, though, I'm going to take Dodgers and Braves, which I know is not an easy pick. And then ALCS, I have the Orioles and Astros.
That's my pick for both. I agree with you 100%.
I think the Braves are kind of, I know, 2021, forget and ignore. We'll pretend that didn't happen. Besides that, I think that they are kind of choke artists. So I think that it's going to be Dodgers-Phillies in that NLCS. And as far as the ALCS, I'm going to say Yankees-Astros. I'm okay. Doing it. We're back.
Yeah, that 2021, obviously I know that World Series well. And that, to me, that, like, I'm not even mad about that one because it felt like the Astros were the walking wounded at that point. Like, there was just, they had that emotional win over the Red Sox where they, like, won one game down 8 at one point. I just think they had nothing left. And at least we're going to get AL rings at the ballpark next year. My World Series prediction is Astros over Braves in 7. But the Astros don't have home field advantage this time, and that is the key.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say I'm horrible at predictions. Not that anyone is necessarily good at them, but I'm just like, I don't know, because I can't help it. This time, I feel like I have too much what's the word? I'm too superstitious that I feel like if I don't pick the Yankees, if I'm too literal about things, it's bad luck for them. So obviously I'm going to pick Yankees over Dodgers in this World
That would
Series.
be so sweet, though, for real.
Cole's gonna come back, it's gonna be sick.
I would root for the Yankees in that World Series in a heartbeat. Gary?
I'm gonna pick Dodgers over Astros. Just
As long as
because
Joe
I shouldn't
Kelly
be the only
is.
one to have a miserable year, so I want you to cry too.
I love that. We're so back. We're
But
so
here's the thing.
back.
The fact is, guys, is that you're a Cardinals fan and a Yankee fan. I don't have anything but gravy right now. Like the fact that the Astros got mentioned in an article today about this team feels a lot like the 09 Yankees. I'm like, oh my God, somebody compared us to the Yankees. I was like, yes. So
Whoever who wrote that article, send me their at because I have a few things to say to them. Are they kidding me? I'm offended by that article.
they said some of the basically coming up short the year before and then spending money on arms to kind of get over. I don't know.
2020, the 2008 Yankees didn't even make the playoffs.
Well, right.
It was one of the terrible years, one of the six terrible years since I was 6 years old.
Since you were
I will
six.
compare the Cardinals to the 2008 Yankees if I could.
I
That's
wanted to talk
perfect.
a little. We have about 5 or 6 more minutes. I want to talk a little bit about game day traditions. Like Gary and I have had the same game day tradition since we've known each other. It's a picture of us in our jersey toasting each other. When I became a school teacher, it became soda, not beer. You've always got like your Bud Light, so everything's
Well,
red and
I
white, or
normally have
Budweiser,
the
excuse me.
I have the Budweiser. This year I decided, you know what? Ever since we've been doing it, the Cardinals haven't won, so maybe I'll switch it up. And I was going to get like a Busch beer, but you can only get that in 12 packs, and I don't want to have 12 Busch beers, so it's going to still be a Budweiser.
What I was telling Gary, Emily, like my boss saw me a year ago, like, why are you in a jersey? She's my new boss. And I was like, well, I told her the whole story. She goes, well, I bet you won't wear a whole uniform next year. I was like, you don't know who you're talking to. So I'll be showing up. I got high socks. I want to come in with some big league chew. I'm bringing a bat and a glove. I'm in it. I don't know. I won't wear spikes, but I'm in it to win it.
Are you gonna
Anything
do
big deal
you
you
know the
do?
black under your
Oh
eyes?
yeah. Oh yeah.
Have to.
Oh yeah. I don't even know what that's for, but oh yeah. Emily, what about you? Any big like traditions that you try to go through to get this thing on the right foot?
No, I don't really have any like opening day traditions besides watching it. Usually I'll take the day off, and this year I didn't even do that. So maybe that'll be the difference in the Yankee season. Like I have having been a ball player for the majority of my life, I have dumb superstitions that are even more nonsensical. Like, oh man, I did not get a comfortable deep breath right before that first pitch. This season is screwed. Like that kind of stuff I'm talking about. So like I just am nervous and excited, and I cry every year on opening day because I'm so happy that baseball is back, and it's just I just love it so much, and I'm so happy that I'm not gonna have to watch anything besides baseball for like the next 6 months from the time I get home from work until the time I go to bed, and that's my tradition, just being excited.
I definitely will, even if it's just the game day app, I watch every Astros game. Like sometimes, obviously, not watching the whole game on the actual television. But of course, this year now we've got season tickets, which is so just like Jessica's so excited. We're actually going to Madonna on Friday, but we might blow off Madonna to go to a third game.
Be
What do you think about
sick.
that, Gary? Should I see Madonna before she's dead?
I don't know. I mean, the good thing about Madonna now is that she is doing greatest hits. For a while, she would just do like all new songs and then one medley of her first four albums. So at least now she's playing the hits. I'd probably go see the Astros.
Yeah.
I
I
mean, you may get to see Madonna again, but when are you going to get to see the Yankees at Minute Maid game three out of 162 in the season?
So we'll
Who
be at
knows when
three
that'll
and
come around again in the
we'll be
schedule?
at three or four, three and four. We won't be at one or two. And here's the thing. I sold, you're gonna be so proud of me, Emily. I sold my game one tickets to one of my very best friends who is from Texas but is a diehard Yankee fan. So while I do have a policy about selling to randos from other teams, I was like I couldn't deny him. And back then we thought it was Cole Verlander. So he was like, and now it's sad.
It is kind of sad.
Now, Gary, I did see a prediction that shows Goldschmidt being traded to the Astros at the deadline. I would like that to come true.
I saw that. I don't see that happening. Especially because he seems to be getting worse, so that means the Cardinals are going to extend him for 12 more years. So they're not letting him go. Unless he has a really good season, like an MVP season, and then he'll be your first baseman.
God, that would make me, it would make it move. I'm not gonna lie. All right, guys. Emily, make sure you can tell us. First of all, you're back on the air. When do we have your next episode coming?
My niece is being bat mitzvahed this weekend, so we don't have an episode this week, but we will be back next week. And we had one episode a few weeks ago, and it was great, and it was good to be back. And then we'll be back in full form starting. Oh, actually, wait, maybe not next week, because my birthday is a weekend after, and there's a solar eclipse on my birthday, everybody. If you're
Oh,
listening on
wow.
April 8th, there's going to be the Great American Solar Eclipse that's going to go across from the southwest and northeast. So you might get a good view of it depending on where you live. So we might have an episode that week depending on the weather. But
Or if the world ends. If the
yeah,
world,
exactly.
if
Because
that's the one that
I
turns the
mean,
rivers to blood or whatever, you know.
like you, because you're as much a space nerd as you are a baseball fan, pretty much. Like you're, I know you're fire. I couldn't care less.
About an eclipse?
I don't care.
It's going to
Well, I think
cross
it's
Texas,
cool.
the path of
Oh,
totality.
no, I know. Like, where it's actually cost passing just west of Austin. I have to, t I'm working, so they set up some stuff for us to watch it. But Jessica has paid $250 to go watch it at a winery that they figured out it's going to be wide open with no city light, so she'll have a great view of it.
Oh,
You
it's going to be
know,
during the day.
yeah, she's
And
excited.
if you drink enough wine, it's a full blackout anyway, so it's fine.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be back next week, the three of us, and then we'll be able to talk about some actual games we can overreact to. So we will see everybody next Wednesday. And that does wrap up this edition of Ballpark Nation. We're going to be back next week. And by then, real, actual baseball that counts will be played. Check us out next Wednesday. We will catch you then. Get out to the ballpark.